All the wonderful commands of Jesus that have to do with our relationships with each other, and much covered about our relationship with Him. A little bit more how you're doing with folks around you this morning. And back in 2007, I don't know if people know the song, One World, that was by a Christian group talking about the unity of Christians, the unity of believers. And one of the phrases was, way back in 2007, I'll look out for you, you look out for me. How many heard that song? I knew I was the only, you know, music buff here besides the choir. And so, but that's a great song. And so, I'll look out for you, you look out for me. That's really a New Testament theme and could be a summary of Romans chapter 15. Could be one practical application of love your neighbor as yourself. And I've always had great neighbors who looked out for me and looked out for me in both spiritual and responsibility weakness. We'll put it that way. Bear with the failings of the weak, it says in Romans chapter 15. And help those who are not doing as well as you are. So that could be apply physically, in this case, spiritually. Bear with the failings of the weak. And the neighbors that I've had will notice, and some would be able to give testimony to this, in my neighborhood, I'm always the last one to mow the lawn that needs mow. My grass is always the highest, right? Pretty much. And even to the point where I have a 90-year-old dear lady who's a neighbor, and she offered one day if I needed to borrow her lawnmower. So that was kind of embarrassing. I'll get it to it, you know, I'll get to it. I'm fine, really. And I actually like to do that. I also am the last one to shovel my driveway, even to the point where some neighbors have come with their machine, and they figure, well, if he's not going to shovel the driveway, I'm going to do it. And I actually like to mow the lawn and shovel the driveway. It's good for my health, and it's very invigorating, but I'm always the last one to do it. But bearing with the failings of the weak, the neighbors come through, and I just take in all the love, you know. And that doesn't cause me to say, well, I just won't do it then. I'll just let my neighbors love me. It actually works in a good way, causes that concern to be contagious for other people. And love is like that, and so are the commands of God. And so spiritually, Paul is saying, you who are strong in the faith, take care of the failings of the weak. If we could put it in terms that may be important to us. For folks who don't pray as much as you help them. For folks who don't read the Bible as much as you help them. For folks who don't go to church and et cetera, et cetera. And love as much as you help them. You help them. Bear with them. And don't just look out for your own self. Okay. Your theme shouldn't be, well, I'm growing as a Christian, you know. That's all that matters. No. You're to bear with the failings of the weak, or they will make up their own rules on things and trip up in different areas. So Romans 15, a real practical chapter, and it's a very helpful one to get into. And it ties into the one another verses in the Bible. There's about 48 in the New Testament where God says, do this on behalf of one another. That's quite a bit. And one of the important things is we don't look at those 48 verses and say, oh man, you know, 10 commandments were rough enough, but now there's 48 things I have to be on the ball about. There are opportunities, there are examples that you and I can do to show Christ's love and how He helps us in everyday life. So it's the one another thing. It's looking out for the other guy. Start at home, start at work, start at church. Start somewhere. And so that's how it goes. And when it doesn't happen, it causes grief and a heartache in our own soul. I remember visiting a dear lady, changed her name to Sally. Sally had 5 children moving into the adult age. They were like from 16 all the way up to 25. and just starting out work for some of them, you know, still at home. And she was married, and the one felt her husband, he just was not a church guy. Kind of trusted the Lord, but had, you know, a lot of irritations about life. And so when I would talk to Sally, she would say, "Oh," her husband, call him Eddie, if Eddie would just go to church, you know, that would really help us. I feel so bad when Eddie doesn't go to church," because she was concerned about his strength. And my two sons, you know, they're young men. They're gonna have a lot of responsibility pretty soon, and they're not following the Lord. And I feel so bad. And my three daughters, oh my, you know, and some of them are having children and no husband yet. And oh, I feel so bad, she would say. And you could, it just wasn't the words, but it was her heart that was truly broken. She was really looking for one another experience with her own family. And she wanted her family to have that with other believers, you know. And contrasted to that, isn't it, don't you feel so good, or isn't it a real support when family or neighbors or Christian people, they do come alongside and give you a strength. They share their growing faith in Christ. They do pray for you. Okay. And at that point, you don't feel so bad. You feel so good. You feel so good that there's support there and there's strength there. There's a living out of the love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody out there, you know, they're living out the commands of relationship commands of Jesus. And so big theme in the Bible, and just looking at that for the last time this Sunday, moving on to beyond the relationships commands of Jesus, but to try to catch some good news to put into practice. This is an area in my life, it's probably the weakest, I would say, relationship with God. I like that. Give me a Bible, give me prayer time, give me worship. Being with others on a regular basis, back and forth serving. Well, I'll be, you know, a little slow on that part, but a blessing when it occurs. A blessing when it occurs. And so you and I can grow in this area very well. So some good news here that we can look at together and just run with what the Lord has to say in His Word. Now, we're looking out for the week, failings of the week, and keeping that unity of the faith and receiving and welcoming one another as Christ did us. Here's some of the main verses of Romans 15. But here's some examples, not going to go through the 48 verses, but of the 48 one another verses in the New Testament. Okay, so it would be a theme you wouldn't want to miss, fairly predominant. The love one another, Jesus said, as I have loved you. Francis Schaeffer, great theology guy, called this he wrote a book on this called The Mark of the Christian. Okay, the number one quality of a follower of Jesus. Oh, they're going to have that one another mentality and concern. So that's a big deal. It's slow to come, but God pulls it off, I think, by His Spirit, and we'll see it in the other devotions. Here you go. Be devoted to one another. An example of Romans 12. If somebody came up to you and said, "Did you have your devotions today?" What would you think of? You'd probably think of, yeah, I got together by myself, read my Bible, said my prayers or prayed my prayers, and sang songs to God. I had my devotions. But in the New Testament, really, the word devotion is used more frequently in regards to one another. So we just rephrase the question. Did you have your devotions this week? In other words, did you express devotion to the people around you, home, neighbor, work, fellow work folk, and brothers and sisters in Christ? It's just as important, I would say, and yeah, you know, like it or not, more frequently mentioned in the Scripture in terms of what a devoted heart looks like. A heart of devotions is a heart that looks out for others. And so we could grow in that area, perhaps a new angle on a devoted life for us. Honor one another, okay, above yourselves. This is from Romans again. And a real simple way to honor one another, you kind of focus in on what other people are going through and build them up, you know, with encouragement and see God's work in their life. One church did this in a practical way, which we've considered this but never pulled it off. There was it was hard to get across hard to get over the embarrassment factor or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, we used one church had a pray for two or three families every Sunday. And so let's say Scheidel family, Painter family, Dairy family, and they would say, this is your day to be prayed for or honored, as it were. And so they would be up front at a certain time in the service, probably during the pastoral prayer or congregational prayer, and we would say, and this is Deanna, and these are the great things about her, and she would like prayers for her granddaughters, you know, with the college and all the responsibilities of all that. And this is Chuck Scheidel, and this is what he's facing, and he's good at this kind of thing, and the Dairy family, and so on. And so that would be mentioned, and then people would pray for them. So there would be a part of the service where people were, the whole church together would be saying, you know, Lord, keep being the strength for Mrs. Painter, Mr. Scheidel, and Mrs. Dairy. And so it was like an honor one another kind of thing. Whether we do that or not, I mean, it's a great idea if we could pull it off. But we could do that certainly with our soul and with our attitude, you know. Pick two or pick three. What do you do? You go to Panera Bread and you say, pick two, you know, or pick three. I really don't like those kind of places. Too many decisions at the last minute and people behind me getting antsy. But it's the honor of one another that's very important. And here's a good one. Live in harmony with one another. We heard an example of that. What does that look like? Beyond in a song, it's very beautiful. What does it look like when we do it? It's very beautiful. Okay, so It's helping each other up, harmonious. Ephesians 4 is a big harmonious chapter, and it uses the word one 6 times in about 2 lines. Now, if you've thought of it this way, and it's pretty important. One body, okay? One spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father. Okay, of God's children. So, pretty important, the harmony thing of saying one. You see yourself as one with believers. You have more in common with brothers and sisters in Christ than uncommon. And I would say even if you're the most committed Christian on the earth, and you meet the most wicked, sinful rascal on the planet, you still have more in common with them than difference. Certainly, one has decided to 100% reject Christ, and the other guy's decided to trust Christ. However, I'll tell you what, they got the same blood going through their veins. They had the same needs of forgiveness. They had the same fears and anxious times. You know, there's a lot in common between you and every other human being out there. So don't forget about that in the midst of, you know, feeling like, well, we're the Christians and we're few and far between and we feel bad for everybody else, but too bad for them. But in here anyway, the emphasis was believer to believer. So that's good. Another one another verse, serve one another. What can I do for the other guy? It's a big deal. Consider yourselves members of one another. This is a spiritual reality, nothing that you have to sign up for. Okay, I remember as soon as I put my trust in Christ, age 16, the best I knew how, Billy Graham said, do this, so I did it. You know, he said, and don't forget to go to church next Sunday, so I'll think about that one. But so the member, I automatically felt a kinship to all other Christians, no matter, you know, what church they went to, who they were. If they said, Jesus is my Lord, I said, that's, he's mine too, you know. So there was a membership of one another. You see yourself like that, you're going to be a lot healthier. Interesting, all the secular groups in the world would love to have this as their mode of operation. You know, the military folks, they love it when there's unity in the unit. If you work at Walmart, you know, I think Walmart, from what I understand, certain times of the day they get their sections together and they say, you know, we can sell that underwear, we can sell that underwear, or whatever they do. I don't know what they do. Is that anybody work at Walmart? Bruce, sorry, Bruce will give us the true story behind all that after church, but. But people out in the world, they're really scrounging for unity. You've got these sports teams, you know. Happens to be the teams that are most unified are the most winning, you see. And they would love to say, well, what can get us unified? Maybe it's the coach. Maybe it's the best player. Maybe it's the fans. Maybe it's the uniform, you know. Maybe it's the heart. So you get that heart that the Lord does for us, members of one another as Christians, submitting to one another. Wonderful challenge, but it's a path to freedom. Building up one another. You get the other guy strong. What do they call those now when you go somewhere? They give you a personal trainer, you know. Teach you how to do the jumping jacks or the push-ups or something. You can get a life coach, right? You can get a life coach. Teach you how to do life. As a Christian, you're like a personal trainer for just people around you with humility. Okay. Exhort one another daily. Now this is a tough one because if we are like every word of the Bible we like take is like I got to do this because this the word said. We're not gonna get close to this one, okay? Because the daily thing, the daily means as a general pattern of your heart. Okay, give strength to other people, and you're probably not going to be able to do this to 40 people. Okay, not even 20 people, but to the people you know in your circle. Okay, you could exhort the two or three people that you speak to today. Okay, that would be some encouragement. And then have compassion for one another to let people know my emotions are with you. Compassion. It's a wonderful thing. My emotions are with you, and that'll help. And in closing, some just general themes, heart changes. Trust in the Lord to produce maximum. Oh, trust in the Lord, as we have this, produces maximum concern for the good of others. This is what the Lord gives to us. Changes that heart of self to heart of looking out for the other guy. Okay, God can give that to us, and it, you know, the weed of selfishness is in all of us, but He grows that. Man, what a more enjoyable day. You ought to try an experiment. One day, live for yourself from morning till night. Okay? Hopefully, we'd have to change behavior to do that. But one day, just live for yourself from morning to night. Just think of yourself. Think of you, your problems, your spirituality, and on and on. You know. And then, the very next day, just say, I'm going to be here for as many others as I can. It'll change everything. Your whole mentality. When you come to church, you know, I'm here for me. Ooh, you know, God will help you, but you want to have God, you want to have others, and then you get nourished. Okay, and then Jesus rescued us from eternal hell, so we would look out for the other guy, not just to save our own necks. Okay? Because Jesus didn't please himself. Did he? He said, I'm going to do this for the lost world. So we pick that. His spirit motivates the same way. Daily sacrifices of love come from the one great sacrifice of Jesus. Basically, Paul says in Romans 15, look, Jesus died and rose from the dead, so the least you could do is help out the other guy. Again, especially those who are weak in the faith. The trend is for those who are strong in the faith to gather together and those who are weak in the faith to stay weak. That's not good. The strong help the ones who are newer or growing. Here's one that is interesting. It's almost historically it's needed, although it could be backwards. Have the same level of commitment to the church, his body, as you do to the Lord. It's a pretty common theme throughout the Bible. But when you see that, it's like, get out. You know, get out. Nowadays, it's almost like, show your commitment to the Lord by really having hardly any commitment to the local church. It's not that important. Okay. It was Mike's good example of what you don't want to do is saying, because I'm in church all the time, I'm a Christian. But since none of us are in church all the time, none of us are going to be saying that much. I don't know how to put it any other simple way other than the same truth of that. But you want to say, Lord, you love the people. Help me to do that by being there. And a little challenge, and this is rough, and come and kick me in the shin afterwards if you would. I always thought in my, maybe it was overly, what do you call that thing? Obsessive compulsive, that's it. In my mentality, as a school person, I think the only time I was absent, you know, grades 9 through 12 or grade 1 through 12 was like 3 times. I just didn't like being absent. I mean, that was just, it's probably a quirk as opposed to something healthy. But because I liked that, when it came to work, I never miss work. Why would I miss work? I love work, you know. You go and you do stuff. And so could you, under God's direction, steering away from legalism, could you make your attendance in church as important as your attendance in school if you're young people? Or work? If you're at work, you don't miss 2 days a month. The boss is going to say, "Hey, come on, you know." And I think gathering as a New Testament pattern, and even going along with remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, somehow translated to the resurrection of Jesus, does motivate you. In other words, what would happen to you or your children if they went to school or you went to work as often as you went to church? You know, would you have a job? I don't know. But of course, the Lord, it's more invitational. You know, it's not a requirement and so forth. But it gives you a chance to love one another. Somebody said, How can I do the one another verses if I'm simply not around others? That's a good question. So it's an opportunity. And then, number 5, this is a good one. The sins and weaknesses of others are motivation for you to change. So again, our initial response is, I got to get that other person to change. You know, they're vulgar. I got to get them out of the vulgarity. They're slack. I got to get them out of the slack. It's really an opportunity for us to change, because God's love is not something we find. It's rather it's a gift that finds us, so we might pass it on to others. One practical example on this in closing is, I'll embarrass him because he's not here. John Pellis, one of our Sunday school teachers, knows the Bible pretty good and quite an intelligent guy and so forth. And I've noticed in a class, when somebody makes a comment, I've never seen John say, that's totally wrong. Even though there's been many times people raise their hand and say something like totally, totally off the wall. He never says that's totally wrong. What he says is, seeing the weakness of the other person, he says, you know, I'm going to think about that. That's an interesting point. And he changes on behalf of the others. He doesn't say, that's great, you know, that's as true as the next thing. He don't do that. But he kind of works with people where they're at. Moves them along. He said, that's a great thing. Have you considered this one, you know? And he passes on the truth. And so that's an example of a change. Because if you know John, with his whole heart and soul, he's thinking, wrong. This is right. But he leads that person in that direction. And it's a way to look out for one another. It's a way to live out that Romans 15. Because there are weak folks around us. And maybe we're one of them. And so we're really counting on that one another love to come through. Like my neighbors with the lawnmower and shovel and however else we could be of grace to each other. Well, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for putting us in relationships. We're more like a flock of geese. We're more like a group of lions or a pride of lions as opposed to a independent jaguar or whatever other creature lives by itself. But there's some connection that will be, it's true here and it'll be true for eternity. So just give grace to each dear loved one here. They're here to praise your name, love people around them, and you shine through each one of us. We're thankful. Just give us that outward look, and it's quite a freeing thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.